having quite a time. The 16th chapter of Acts, and I want to speak to you on this subject, is your God there? Last evening, we suggested that a congregation that dares to call itself a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's quite a claim, isn't it? We did you ought not claim to be a church that was purchased with the precious blood of the Son of God, unless we mean business, isn't that right? I get so disgusted as I go up and down the land, their pastors, they're trying to be nice, and they welcome that we're so glad you're with us. Well, if you had right good sense, you'd be there. If you don't believe in the church, why don't you move to Russia? Well, you wouldn't have to be bothered by it. I don't think that we pay God a compliment by coming out to his house, do you? I think it's mighty good of him that he's blessed us so we can have a little place where we can come together and pray and worship, get instruction, and go out. The old Quakers had the Bible right. They said the service begins when the meeting is over. I often wonder what people mean when they go out and invite people to come to church. It's a silly statement if you just think it through, but we all do it because we got a Bible, but we never have used it any. I suggest that people, wherever I go, that they go down to Cress's and buy them a Bible. The one they've got, they seem to think so much of it, they never use it. And the old Quakers would rebuke us, and the New Testament would rebuke us, inviting somebody to come to church, because I can see where the church can go somewhere, but it's impossible for somebody to attend church, because this isn't a church, this is a building. If there are some saved people that have membership here, they are the church, and the service they render to the Lord is not here, but out yonder, is that right? And the meeting, we have it for the people so they can be better servants of the Lord as they meet people during the week down where they work and in their home. Is that so? I wish I could break this generation of Baptists from inviting people to attend church. And I wish we'd pay a little attention to the Bible and we'd understand that we come together in what we call the church building. The church can meet in this little building. And then the church can go out and put its arms around sinners, can't it? And then the church can go out and weep over sinners. But don't you see how silly we are? We hear somebody use an expression, and it's just against the Bible, and we're so lazy, we never examine whether it's so or not. And so we've built up a generation that think that fellow ought to go to church, whatever that means, once in a while. Is that right? But they can't go to church. The church can go to the world. Because the church is made up of what? Born again men and women. Is that right? And they've been commissioned to go. Is that right? That's on the subject this morning. I want to congratulate you the first two nights for the perfect order. It's a wonderful compliment to your young pastor and his wife, and I appreciate it. Now, I'm laboring under a good deal of strain and pain, and you can see that if you're hurting, you're liable to be sort of nervous. I am. And I do appreciate it. I haven't seen a person chewing gum in the service since I've been here. I'd rather get drunk and rob a bank than to sit in a little house of God with no respect, hadn't you? And I haven't seen the youngsters get up moving around, and until this morning I hadn't seen anybody misbehaving at all in the service. That's wonderful. This is a little building. It's an old building, I understand, but it's dedicated to the people coming here to meet a living God and go out with the glory of God shining on their faces to witness to lost men and women. And therefore, it's a precious place, isn't it? And I want to congratulate you that somehow or another you've been taught to respect this blessed little place. Is your God dead? I said last night, if you attempt to have what you call a revival meeting, don't have it. It's sure to slam on your God. And because it's his reputation that's involved, not yours. Isn't that right? The Bible God, one verse says, O thou that hearest prayer. The God of the Bible is a God who hears prayer. Isn't that right? If yours don't, why, you've got the wrong God. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? And we ought not to just take lightly the idea. Now, we're going to have, I liked your pastor's wording last night. I don't like these posters. They got revival. Well, that's silly, isn't it? Ain't no revival in spitting distance. I don't see one anywhere. Don't feel it, do you? But we got in the habit of that. We're going to have revival. You don't do God that way. You don't tell God what he's to do. All we can do is do what our hands find to do and look up to God and say if it pleases you. You can't bribe him. And there's no way on earth you can work it out so he's got to act, isn't it? Isn't that so? And this is a revival effort. An effort to get a hold of God. And I want to ask you this morning over and over again, is your God dead? Does this group come together often? Let God see your tears. He begins to see your tears. He likely begin to listen to you when you pray. He told a man by the name of Hezekiah, I've seen your tears and I've heard your prayers. They go together, don't they? And wouldn't it be wonderful if we had what we call churches that believed in a God who hears prayer? Not a few people who are members of the, what we call churches, but if we had a church. If this church, this congregation, the Church of Christ, of course, is within the congregation, for of course nobody who's not a child of God is a member of the Lord's church. We understand that. But suppose the saved people in this little congregation, suppose they believe as a unit, as a body, in the God of the Bible, O thou that hearest prayer. I just wonder what happened. There's not one in America, there's not a church in America where the membership believes in a God who hears prayer. Now, there are a few people in our churches, I think maybe they do, but as a church, wouldn't it? You say, well, we're very small. Well, suppose you had 15 or 20 actual Christians, and they believe in the God of the Bible, the God said, O thou that hearest prayer. Well, if you believe that God heard prayer, you'd bombard him as a church, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? And if you believed it, you'd find out he's exactly what the Bible says he is. He is a God who hears prayer. I want to speak to you from the 16th chapter of Acts this morning on is your God dead? In the book of Acts, it's very interesting to notice that a sovereign God can go about the business of bringing a lost sinner to a saving knowledge of him through Christ Jesus in any way he sets out to do. I sometimes go to places and they say, Brother Barnes, this is the way we do it here. I say, well, if you'll excuse me, we'll do it some other way because you're liable to make a God out of the way you do things. And you say, well, now God has to work in a certain way. No, he don't. No, he don't. He does as he pleases, and he accepts nobody's advice. Is that right? That kind of God you worship? Huh? Does he ask you for advice every once in a while? No, no. He reigneth in the heavens. And we need to remember that sometimes God goes about bringing a sinner to salvation in a different way He always brings him to the right place if he's going to save him, but he may go at it a little different way. And here in the 16th chapter of Acts, we have this God who hears prayer and this God who saves sinners. I'm so glad that I can't save anybody, because if I could save anybody, I'd have to damn somebody. Because Jesus Christ bought you on the cross, and he's either going to send you to hell or take you to glory. He's got to do one or the other. He's got you on his hands. You know, you belong to him. And God's turned you over to him. And then the question of what you're going to do with Christ, it's a question of what he's going to do with you. He's going to save you or damn you. You can put that down. But he's going to be your judge, or he's going to be your Lord and Savior. Isn't that right? Because you belong to him. Everybody in the world has been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has given unto him our eternal destiny. The Lord Jesus Christ will decide whether you're sent to hell or whether you're saved. Now, you don't believe that, do you? You think you'll decide it? No. Not given you to decide. God's turned us over to his Son. And a lot of people say, I don't like that preacher. And I suggest to them that they get him a club, and if they can find God, knock him in the head, tell him you don't like the way he's running things, and maybe you can get rid of God and be God yourself, or you could come down off of your spiritual high horse and become a beggar and say, Lord, if you will, you can fix me up. But you don't have to, but if you will. See, there's just two places for a fellow to take with reference to God. Cuss him out. Amen. You ready to do that? Or fall at his feet and say, if there's any crumbs falling from your table, that'd be mighty nice. Amen. Amen. Well, so this sovereign God who has bought us through his Son goes about saving people. In 16th chapter of Acts, here in the 14th verse, here's how he brings some people to salvation. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. I hear people say, Senator, won't you please open your heart and let Jesus come in. But I don't know about that little Jesus that has to wait for you to let him in. There's a song they're saying, let him in. Well, if he's that little, he got to wait for you to let him do something. He couldn't help you much if you let him in. But the Jesus of the Bible don't need your help, and he don't need you to let him do anything. He's been exalted, and he's sitting on the throne. Isn't that right? That's been in the Bible. Of course, we haven't heard nothing about it in our generation. But the Jesus of the Bible, where is it? He's sitting on the throne. And if we could find some Christians around here that start using the Bible, you'd quit asking sinners to let Jesus come in. And you'd go to asking God to open sinners' heart. Sinner can't open his heart. God has to do it. You don't believe that, do you? But so, see, yeah. We ought to change our prayer and never make any reference to God at all. We ought to say, oh, Bill, won't you please save yourself? Of course, God's Son died on the cross, and he's been raised from the dead and exalted and sitting on the throne. But the poor little fellow, I feel so sorry for him. He's helpless, and he can't make a move. Till big old you decides to let him do something. Isn't that a pitiful way to preach the Christ of God, whom God has put on a throne to sit there forever? He don't need our help. We need his, brother. We need his. And the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost works at the bidding of the Lord, he sent him. There's a woman named Thyatira. She had a big clothing store. She's a dealer of purple. She sold only expensive clothing. And while she's around in her shop, the Lord opened her heart. That's what we ever got to survive and start using it. We'd have churches that pray, but I can't open a sinner's heart. And you can't, and only God can. And we believe that, we'd have praying churches, wouldn't we? Yes, sir. But we don't believe that. We believe sinners save themselves, but they don't. God has saved a sinner. God has saved a sinner. And so the Lord, in wondrous mercy, you know what it did there in verse 14? It says that she listened to Paul preach. Why? For whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. See, you're going right straight to hell if you don't become a faithful, persistent, praying listener to the Word of God. That's right. Because faith cometh how? How does it come? What does the Scripture say? Romans 10:17. Don't anybody here know that verse of Scripture? Huh? Well, a cat got your tongue. Faith cometh how? By hearing. And hearing what? The latest television show? No. Hearing by the what? Word of God. There's no way on God's earth a sinner will ever be able to believe in Christ except as God works a miracle, as he's listening to the Word of God and enables him to believe on the one that Word's talking about. You know, we're running around here saying, won't you please accept Christ? Well, what all tomfoolery is that? How could the old boy accept somebody? He don't know nothing about it. And cares less. Nothing like that in the Scripture. I'll tell you right now. If we believed the Bible, we'd have praying churches, because the Bible talks about a God who hears prayer. And the Bible talks about a God who opens sinners' hearts so they'll hear the Word of God. And if a fellow goes to listen to God, he's liable to get saved. That's right, isn't it? That's right. That's right. Of course, nobody gets saved now because they haven't got time to listen to God's Word. They decide to accept Jesus and to duck them in a pond and take them in the church and let them go to hell. But nobody's ever saved apart from God working a miracle and opening that old heart so a little of the truth of God's Word can find lodgment in there. For the Scripture says we're born of the what kind of Word? The incorruptible Word of God. And some of it's got to get in there before you can be saved. Isn't that right? And we just got two weapons. Members of this congregation, we just got two weapons. That's the proclamation of the cross of Christ and intercessory prayer. If you got any other tricks, throw them away. That's the only thing God's given us. And they're the two things we don't use. We know nothing about intercessory prayer much. And we've had 60 years of preaching without ever touching side, top, or bottom of the truth of the gospel. And we got a generation of church members that sure for hell's I'm preaching to you. They accepted Jesus, but God never worked a miracle and opened their hearts so they'd attend the Word of God and be saved. There it is right there. So the Lord opened her heart that she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. You go in that shop and every time she didn't have a customer, she's sitting down reading the Word of God, the Old Testament. And it's sinking in. And somebody came along and said, what you doing, Sister Lydia? I'm listening to God talk to me. Listen to God. That's a good way to get saved, isn't it? Huh? Faith cometh how? By hearing. Not by your decision, but by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Well, she got baptized and her whole household. And she said, if you've judged me to be faithful, come on over to my house and abide there. And she's constrained there. Then in verse 16, the sovereign God brings another person by a long, drawn-out process. I want to read how this poor little old girl suffered as God put pulled out her gods and the demons out of her life. I've seen God work on a man for 10 or 12, 15 years, I have. Man, he's in agony. He's living in hell. And God was pulling him and things were coming out. And he quit that. See, God always puts you under the law. And that's a hard schoolmaster before he brings you to Christ. And Lydia just sitting there quiet, and then the Lord came in a quiet way and opened her heart. So for the first time in her life, she listened to God's word. Don't get mad at me. How long has it been since you heard a word that God said? Now listen to me. You can go through the average church meetings for a year and never hear one word that God said. That's right, folks. That's right. That's right. Because we don't come to hear from God. We come to, because we like the preacher. If we don't like him, we don't come. Isn't that right? And so if all we listen to is the preacher, he ain't got nothing to say. But if he's just a voice, and we understand he's a voice, and we're not coming to hear him, we're coming to hear from God through him. You see it? Well, here's a little woman, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, verse 16, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. I wish you wouldn't go out and invite anybody to the meetings. I wish you'd do what the Bible says, go out and show them the way of salvation. You say, Brother Barney, there's somebody in trouble, and they call for you, and you get over there and they say, oh, I tell you, I sure wish I could be saved. What would you do, Brother Barnett? I'd do what the Bible says. I'd preach the gospel to them. And old Cornelius was praying and living up to all the light he wanted. He's hoping somebody come along and tell him how to be saved. He didn't know. And on the other end of the line, God liked to kill a fellow named Peter, who was a Jew, to get him to have sense enough to go out and preach to a Gentile. And when Peter went over there, you know what he did? He did like you folks did. He went over and stuck out his hand and said, Mr. Cornelius, won't you please accept Jesus? No, he didn't. He went over and did what? Preached the gospel to him. And the scripture says, while he yet spake the word unto them, they, the Holy Spirit fell on them that H-E-A-R-D heard the word. You see now, folks, it's a tremendous thing to claim to be a Christian. It's a tremendous thing to claim to be a church of Jesus Christ. God's reputation is at hand. I'm looking in the face and tell you, you ought to put a sign out there and quit playing mumble peg and quit your little peanut ways. And if you do not know how to go out in this community and show people the way of salvation, for God's sake, quit claiming to be a Christian. All on earth this little helpless gang of unsaved church members can do. Every once in a while they get to feeling a little religious and they go out and invite a few people to attend some meeting. God never told you to invite anybody to go anywhere. He tells us to go out and show people the way of salvation. Imagine Paul and Silas walking the streets of that city inviting somebody to come here and preach. Huh? Well, that's a substitute to keep doing what God tells us to do. No, sir. That's exactly what Paul and Silas did. This little woman came and said, these be the servants of the Most High God, which do what? Invite us to a meeting, not on your bottom dollar, which show unto us the way of salvation. Can you take these scriptures and preach the gospel to a lost sinner? If you can't, why don't you quit claiming to be a Christian? Why don't you quit this gracing the name of Christ? Do you go out from this building armed with this book, the Holy Spirit bubbling over, not to invite somebody to go somewhere, but to show helpless sinners as you have opportunity the way of salvation? See, all hell would go to Poppin and Reiner if they had a church that pay a little attention to the Bible. For God's sake, quit claiming to be a representative of a holy God. Quit claiming to be a trophy of His marvelous grace. Quit claiming to have experienced His wonderful salvation. Unless you at least can go and tell people what you've seen and heard. Amen. Amen. Well, and this poor little girl, she just suffered. In verse 18, this she did many days. I'm sure glad none of the members of the Auburn Baptist Church in Rhiner, Virginia, around there, because you'd have gone to her, and the first tear you saw, you'd have got her converted, wouldn't you? But Paul and Silas didn't. They understood that sometimes God deals mortal wounds before he heals people. You believe that? And if somebody said, well, this little girl just is suffering. Wish I'd have been there. I'd told her how to get saved right quick. But she is possessed of demons. And one of them came out and got drove another one out, and she suffered. This she did many days. She just followed Paul and Silas about and said, these be the servants of the Most High God, which do show us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, being grieved. Paul, finally being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So the folks she is making money for, they caught pilots, Saul and Paul and Silas, and took them down and had them judged. And finally they put them in jail. And the jailer, verse 23, when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. What for? For showing people the way of salvation. Now you ain't going to get no trouble at all, honey, long as you can just go out from this little building and there once in a while invite somebody to come to hear your preacher. Because the devil don't mind you doing that. But if you ever go to acting like a Christian and you get an opportunity, you begin to talk about this business of the way of salvation. See what I mean? Well, I put you in jail too. But I'll tell you something. Something will go to happen. It shows you foot and a half high. Huh? That's right. God never told you to claim to be one of his representatives when you haven't experienced salvation enough that you can tell other people what you've seen. That's witnessing it. And what you've heard. I wish I could break this generation of church people. They tell me they've been saved. And I wish I could get you to buy you a Bible. Your dead children use the one you got. And I could break you from these foolish things that are damning this generation while we sleep well at night. And I believe that a person who's not engaged in the business of showing sinners the way of salvation, I don't believe that person's saved. He may be, I just don't believe he is. And so they got put in jail. Boy, you might too. Because things would go to stirring around here. Amen. If you fill this town full of preaching, not here. This is the place for you to go out from. Amen. To show people the way of salvation. So they put them in jail. And they put them in the stocks. And verse 25 tells another expense how sovereign God. One, he just quietly opened a woman's heart and brought her to Christ. See it? And another, it's long drawn out process. She went around for many days screaming, following Paul and Silas, that these are God's servants and they show us the way of salvation, but she's full of devils. And finally old Paul turned in mercy and commanded the demons to go out. She was delivered. But here's another place of a fella who the Lord just in a wonderful way brought to salvation. Look at verse 25. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light, this jailer did, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out of the jail cells and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now watch it, because the next verse has damn more people than any other verse except the first chapter of John. I verily believe we've used this scripture to send more people to hell than any other scripture in the Bible, except that text over in the first chapter of John. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, them gave he the right to become the children of God, even as many as believed on his name." Now listen, Brother Barnwright, quickly, I'm going to let you go. I'm desperate. I told you, young pastor, you could do a great work here. You can. If you're Christians, listen to me. I would help you. If you'll begin to do what I'm talking about this morning, for God's sake, cut out this silly stuff by trying to get somebody to attend your church. There ain't no church to attend. You're the church. Amen? And let this church go out where sinners are. The men can go two by twos. The women can go two by twos. The youngsters can go two by twos. If you got a junior that claims to be a Christian, put him on the road and let him go to Vista and preach in the gospel. If he can't do that, he ain't saved no how. Isn't that right? Huh? Somebody started this business, they didn't believe in women preachers. If you believed your Bible, you would. The day God saved you, he called you to preach. Now, that's right. It's not optional whether you preach or not. If you're a child of God, he calls you to preach. If you're a woman or a man or a junior or an intermediate. Now, the Bible says he gave some particular offices, but he gave all of God's people. It's not optional whether you're a witness or not. If you're saved, you are a witness. Isn't that right? You don't decide whether you will be a light. If you're saved, you are the light of the world. Isn't that right? You don't decide whether you want to be salt or not. If you're saved, you are the salt of the earth. And you don't decide whether you're going to preach the gospel wherever you get an opportunity. If you're saved, you do. Because that's what he called you to do. That's right, dear. This isn't heresy. This is so. Take 20 people that are saved and paying a little attention to the Bible. Boy, you can make it hot for Christianburg and Ryan and go far at Radford. Well, there ain't nobody in Christianburg and Radford minding God. They're just going to service once in a while. Every once in a while they invite somebody to come to the meeting, most of them, right? But how many people you know in Christianburg and Radford and all these towns around here that act like they've got a Bible and act like that they know that Jesus Christ has made them his representative? He has, you know. You represent Christ, and that's some job, isn't it? God bless your heart. I'm here working down that factory in your home. Wherever you are, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I'm under his command, and I beg you in his sake, for his sake, in his stead, be reconciled to God. Ooh. Huh? Business pick up, folks. And I look in the face and tell you, with all the pathos there is in my heart, you got no right to go around here claiming to be a Christian if you're ashamed, stand up on your hind legs. Let this world know I'm a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a solemn thing? I didn't choose him. Bless God, he chose me. And ordained that I should bear fruit. Isn't that what Scripture says? You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I tell you what's fact, my friends. Sometimes old mean Rob Barnard, I almost shout. If I didn't have associated the Baptist, I would shout a lot. You know what? You know the reason I'm saved? God decided to save me. I guess you think you saved because you accepted Jesus, but you ain't. The reason I'm saved, God set his love on me, and he wouldn't let me go. He laid me on an old professor's heart. And that old professor liked to worry me to death. He wouldn't let me go. Oh, wonder of wonders. This old mean preacher. God, in mercy, saved me. He didn't have to do it. I couldn't make him do it. Wasn't any way I could bribe him. He's just out of his mercy and grace. Amen. I tell you right now, I never will get over that. That's something. Well, sir, this old jailer just scared to death. He's trembling. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now watch it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, I'm going to let you go. For God's sake, don't ever tell a sinner to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him if he'll do it, he'll be saved, unless that sinner is trembling in a state of repentance under the power of God, wanting to be saved so bad his eyeballs are sticking out. I've heard dear person workers don't know a thing on God's earth about the Lord or the Bible either. Stick a Bible under an old sinner's nose, don't give a hoop about Christ, and say all you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Nowhere in the scripture is anybody ever told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unless they just about to die to get saved. That's right. Elsewhere, what we need to do is go out and tell them what the Bible says, that unless you become a persistent seeker of the Lord, you'll never be saved. When a man's seeking, trembling, he's not full of alibis. He says, "Preacher, tell it right now. I sure wish the Lord saved me." Huh? Then do what Paul did to this trembling jailer. See what I mean? Well, just lean all your weight. Huh? Lock, stock, and barrel on who? On Jesus? No. On the Lord. Where is he now? Well, he was on the cross. But where is he now? He's on the throne. Amen. And you lean all your weight on him. Who? The Jesus this generation knows nothing about. The enthroned Christ. Amen. And he's sitting on the throne. Because he died on the cross. Huh? That's right. God bless you. You seem to me to be sweet people. Be people who are anxious to hear. Don't get mad at me, I'm going to cut you to pieces. This old flesh hour has got to die. We need to learn how to die every day. I hope I tear up everything you believe in. But if I tear it up, it ain't worth nothing anyhow. I want to see the blessings of God. I believe we can have them when we go to paying some attention to the Word of God. That's right. I believe enough people here that are saved on who you are. Just go to doing what the Bible tells God's people to do. Amen? Hell alive will go popping. Amen? That's right. That's right. I'm going to preach from this text tonight. I wanted to give you just this little study this morning. It's a little bit near my heart. I'm not a novice, dear one. I'll be preaching 36 years this September. I've been an evangelist, full-time hitchhiking evangelist, 28 of those 36 years. I've learned a few things. I'm entitled to a hearing, and you've given it to me. I don't ask you to believe what I preach, but I have a right to ask you to hear it. Amen. Hear it. And I tell you, it's time we just roll up our sleeves. And says the Bible, says God answers prayer. Amen. And I believe that obedient people who are doing what they can as God directs them, I believe they got a right to ask God to pour out His Spirit on our labors. For I can't win a soul to Christ, I can witness to Him. But in the deep sense, the Holy Spirit's the only one that can get into Christ, isn't that right? Huh? And wherever I go, I long to be used of God to challenge God's people who've lived all the days in your life. None of us have ever seen real revival ever. We never have. And I believe it'll break out at the point where God's people quit listening to the traditions of men and go to listening to the Word of God. I think the only hope of this hour is for God to come in great power, don't you? But I don't believe He's going to come in great power on a disobedient, lazy church, do you? And I hope the Lord will just cut us all to pieces and grind us up. We're like little children, as we never have in our lives. We begin to obey the plain teaching of the Word. Amen. And I covet that for you. May God bless you. Let us.